I was thinking as we were singing that hymn just now, how we miss the ladies. All of us men here today, us five men singing that hymn, we sure miss the ladies joining in with us and singing praises unto our God. If you will, open your Bibles with me today to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I begin reading today in verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We're looking today at the story of a man who would not be hushed. He would not hold his peace when those around him told him to do so. This is one of my favorite stories. And yet I hesitate to call this a story because stories are usually written to entertain us. This is not written to entertain us, but this is a true history that is written to inform us, to teach us, to help us that we might learn about the things of God. I like the words of the hymn that go like this. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his blindness flee, his darkness flee. You know, the father of John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit when John was born, and he began to prophesy. And his prophecy has many wonderful truths in it, but one thing that he said was that his son, John the Baptist, would go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And then he said that the day spring from on high, that is, the bright and shining star, the morning star, the day spring from on high would appear, and that he would give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. And we see that prophecy fulfilled in this case of Bartimaeus. I have three divisions in my message. And I trust the Lord will bless the word to all of us here today. What a wonderful miracle we have in the Lord Jesus Christ opening the eyes of this blind man. First, the first things that we learn about Bartimaeus in verse 46. There's three things I want to mention. Three very simple things that we see in the first verse that I read about this blind man. First, we see that he lived in Jericho. Now, what's interesting about that is Jericho was under a curse. When the nation of Israel came into the land of Canaan, remember, that's the first city they encountered. And God miraculously brought the walls of Jericho down. And then Joshua, he pronounced a curse upon the man who would rise up and rebuild that city of Jericho. So here's the first thing we see about Bartimaeus. He lived in a city which was especially under a curse. The second thing we see is that he was blind. He was blind. And some people, some of the commentators at least, they believe that we may tell from his name that he was born blind. He was blind for sure, and many believe that he was born blind. And the third thing that we see is that he was a son of Timaeus. And Timaeus, according to Strong's concordance, the word means unclean. He was the son of the unclean. Now think about these three things. He lived in a city which was under a curse. He was blind, and he was born of an unclean man. Now these all have their spiritual parallels. What is said and what we see there so quickly about Bartimaeus is true of you. And it's true of me. It's true of all men as we come into this world. First of all, we live in a world which is under a curse. We read this in Genesis chapter 3. That chapter in Genesis which records the fall, when Adam disobeyed God. Then we are told that God said this, "Because thou hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." We all live in a world that is under a curse. Can you imagine? Do you ever take the time just to think for a few minutes about what this creation was when it came from the hands of its creator? When God created the heavens and the earth and fashioned everything in that first week of creation, how beautiful. Even still, we see the beauties of creation. We see the wonders of God's creation, even in this world that is under a curse. But can you imagine, my friend, what this creation was before God pronounced a curse upon it? And remember this, the curse came upon this world because of man's disobedience. You know, men like to blame God for things in this world that man brought upon himself. It was man that introduced sin into this world, which brought about the curse. People all the time say, well, if there could be a good God, why do bad things happen? Well, remember, man, he's the one who by his disobedience brought the curse into this world. Not only do we live, my friends, in a world which is under a curse, but the scriptures tell us that every person who does not obey God's law is cursed. In other words, the law is given, and then the law pronounces a curse upon everyone who does not perfectly, absolutely obey God's law. You see, people are not free from the curse because they memorize the Ten Commandments. People are not free from the curse of the law because they've got the Ten Commandments on a plaque and on the wall in their houses. No, the only way a person is free from the curse of the law is if that person perfectly obeys and does everything that the law commands. So, just as Bartimaeus lived in a city that was under a curse, so you and I live in a world which is under a curse. And we see, my friends, all around us, the sin, what sin and the curse of sin has brought upon God's creation, the sickness, the death, the sorrow. You just go on, my friends. And you see, all of this is the result of man's disobeying his Creator. And then God's perfect holy law, all of us have failed to obey it as it is commanded. And the law pronounces a curse upon everyone who does not do the law, keep the law. And then a second thing, Bartimaeus was born blind, so we are born spiritually blind. You know that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, such a beautiful chapter that speaks to us of God's suffering Savior and the victorious Savior, the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the beginning of that chapter, we read these words, "When we shall see Him, when we shall see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him." Do you know why it is that men see Him, that men hear of Christ and learn of Christ and yet see no beauty in Him that they should desire Him? It is because we are spiritually blind, and all of us rather choose death than life. The light, the Scripture says in John chapter 1, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And on a very dark, dark night, my friends, you can take one of these small matches and strike it, and that light is manifested because of the darkness. But here, the light came into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And yet men are spiritually blind, and we live in darkness. And there was no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. That was our estimation of Him. Why? Because we're spiritually blind. John the Baptist, we are told, was sent to bear witness of that light. That's strange, isn't it? How blind, how dark must a person be if he needs someone to tell him, "Look, there's the light. There's the light." No. John bear witness of Christ who is the light. And number three, we are all sons of the unclean. Job asked this question. He said, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" And then he answered, "Not one. Not one." When our father Adam sinned, he became unclean. And then the Scripture says he begot a son in His image, His own image. Remember, Adam was created in the image of God, and that image was holy. But when Adam sinned, then he had a son, and he came forth in not God's image. That image had been lost. That moral, perfect image of God in which Adam had been created had been marred by sin. But Adam brought forth a son in his own image. And that's true of your father. It's true of my father. It's true of me as a father. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. I want you to listen closely, if you will, to this petition of Solomon. When Solomon dedicated the temple, you can read about this in 2 Kings, but when he dedicated the temple, beautiful, beautiful temple there in Jerusalem, and the glory of God filled that temple. But Solomon prayed in dedicating that temple. And listen to this one petition. He said, "What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel," now listen, "which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands towards this house," that is, the mercy seat there in the temple, "spread forth his hands, Any man that knoweth the plague of his own heart and spreads forth his hands towards this house, then here's the petition. God, hear. Hear in heaven. Hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive and do. If any man know the plague of his own heart, that tells us that most men are never taught the plague of their own heart. Have you been taught that? Have you? Has God the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, taught you the plague of your heart? You say, what is that? What is the plague of the heart? The plague of the heart is that we all are unclean. We all bring, when we come into this world, a heart that is described by God as deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes people say, well, if I know my heart. Well, you don't. You don't. We know this, that we all have a plague. The plague of our heart, those of us who have been taught by God the Holy Spirit, we come into this world with a heart which is described by the Lord Jesus Christ, out of which, remember the Jews of his day, they thought that which goes into the man defiles the man. So they could wash their hands and wash their pots and pans and do all their ceremonies and they would be clean before God. But no. No, it's not these outward things. The problem, the plague, is the heart. Out of the heart, our Lord said, proceed evil thoughts. You ever have an evil thought? I know you do. Why? Because as face answereth to face in water, my friends. All of us, we come into this world, and yes, we have a heart that brings forth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, false witness, that is lying, and blasphemies. And our Lord said, these are the things that defile the man. So here we have Bartimaeus, just like you and me, under a curse, spiritually blind. Yes, my friends, and we're all sons of the unclean. Now here's the second point. The experience of Bartimaeus here in verse 46. This is where it gets good. This is where it gets good, as far as I'm concerned. His experience. The first thing I'd say about this is Bartimaeus lived on the generosity of others. He was a beggar. That's what he was. At one point in my life, I lived in a city where there was a fair amount of beggars. And they were like Bartimaeus. They were begging because of some physical or some mental disability. Over time, as I lived in that city for almost 10 years, I came to recognize different ones. And you might not believe this, but after 40 years, I can still remember one of those beggars, a little lady, and she didn't have any hands. And she sat begging. And when you would give her a gift, she'd do like that. I never will forget that. And I came to recognize her and others as well over time. Why? Because they were always in the same place. And I would imagine Bartimaeus was like that. He had found a good place. Maybe there was some shade there. There was traffic there. And someone every day, just like those beggars that I came to recognize in that place, someone would lead Bartimaeus out there, I'm sure, every morning. And he would sit down. And he'd go to work begging. And they'd come back in the afternoon, and they'd lead him back home. That was his experience. He was a beggar. He lived on the generosity of others. And I mention this because you and I, all of us, we too, we live on the generosity of the Lord God. We live in God's world. We breathe God's air. We drink God's water. We live on the generosity of God Almighty. You know, the Apostle Paul preaching in Athens in Acts chapter 17, he said this about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God that made the world and all things in it, seeing that the Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You can't build a place like these people that have their little idols and their little shrines, and they place him in his position and say, you stay here. You stay here. I'll come back and get you when I need you. No, that's not God, my friends. No, God is everywhere present. He giveth to all men, the scripture says. We live and move and have our being in him. We live. Every day, our life, we live on the generosity of the Lord God. The only thing you have, the only thing I have that we can really, really, really call our own is our sin. That's it. That's really all we have that we can call our own. Everything else, we've been given. You say, well, I have a good mind. Who gave it to you? I have a strong body. Who gave it to you? Paul asked that question, didn't he, to the Corinthians. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Oh, yes. He was a beggar. He lived on the generosity of others. And second, now listen, he heard what produced his response. You notice in verse 47, it says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he probably heard first a commotion. He'd been sitting here, no doubt, in this place for some time. He recognized when there was a big crowd coming. It would kind of alarm a person who couldn't see, who was blind. And so he no doubt asked, what does this mean? And he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. That was what was causing the noise. But I want you to notice what his response was. And we must see this. Now, you're going to miss the message if you don't see this. You must see this. He heard, now listen, he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was causing the noise. But he doesn't cry, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. That's what he heard. But you see, when he starts crying out, it's Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That was the name, that was a title at that time that most of the Jews understood referred to the Messiah, the promised one, one who had been promised of old. He would be the son of David. You know, if you look at the order in which these prophecies were given in the Old Testament. First, he was to be the seed of the woman. Next, he was to be the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Next, Jacob prophesied and said he would come through the tribe of Judah. And then he was revealed to be the son of David. David's son. Other people maybe had not paid any attention when the law was being read there in the synagogue, but I would imagine Bartimaeus, even though he couldn't see, he was listening, and he heard this. He heard that when the Messiah came, he would open the eyes of the blind. That's in Isaiah 35 in verse 5. And no doubt he heard when they read Isaiah 42 and verse 16, I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. I will make darkness light before them. Others at that time maybe asked the Lord, and some did, art thou the Christ? He didn't. He knew. He knew. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I want you to notice 30, cried out for mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't think of striking a deal. Now, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. You've heard people say that, I'm sure. Well, just be sure of that. God doesn't make deals with men. How deceived is a person who thinks like that? He came seeking mercy. You know, when God revealed or proclaimed his name before Moses, that's the first thing he said, the Lord God, merciful. And in that passage in Micah, it speaks about the fact that he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. He didn't come trying to work out some kind of an arrangement with God. No, he came crying, mercy, mercy. The prodigal son, when he came home in our Lord's parable, he didn't speak to his father and say, now, Father, if you'll get that best robe and the ring and the sandals and bring them out here and put them on me, I'll do this, that, and the other. No, he said, Father, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called one of thy sons. Make me as one of the hired servants. What was he doing? He was coming to the Father seeking mercy just like this man. Mercy, mercy. They tried to shut him up, but I tell you what, Bartimaeus had a need, and he knew who it was who was passing by, and they could not hush him up. You know, there's a scripture which says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. When God saves a sinner, that becomes all important to that person. David said, one thing have I sought, one thing. Most people are seeking so many different things. No, Bartimaeus, he was seeking one thing. And he knew if he received it, it was going to be a gift of mercy. He didn't deserve it. Now, here's the last thing, and I see I've got very little time, but I want you to see the grace of Jesus, the Son of David. The first thing we read, he stood still. He stood still. His ear is not heavy. No, my friends, his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Who is a God like unto thee that delights in mercy? He stood still when that woman with an issue of blood came. And in the crowd, she said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she touched, and he stood still. Who touched me? Who touched me? Virtue has gone out of me. Who touched me? Yes, nobody else in that crowd probably heard Bartimaeus, but Jesus, the Son of David, did. His ear is always open to the cry of those who come seeking mercy. Always, always open. The second thing, he commanded him to be called. That's the second thing. He stood still. He commanded Bartimaeus to be called. And that's just a real good picture, isn't it, of God's effectual call. God's call. You see, we preach the gospel, we preach it, broadcast it. That's the word that's used. Go into all the world and broadcast, just like a farmer goes out and he broadcasts the seed. He sows it everywhere. And some hear, and some come. Those are the ones who are effectually called. Somewhere from the cradle to the grave, everyone that God has given unto his Son in that everlasting covenant is going to come to Christ, is going to look to Christ. They really are. Why? Because God called. He commanded, Christ commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. And then one other thing, Jesus, Son of David, gave him his sight. Some people have wondered, I wonder why the Lord asked him, what wouldest thou that I should do unto thee? Well, remember this man was a beggar. What was he usually begging for? He was usually begging for money. Is that what you want? Is that what you're asking for? Oh, no. Oh, no. That I may receive my sight. That's what I want. A lot of people that want to come to Christ, my friends, and they want this, that, and the other. But remember this, the Lord Jesus came into this world for one reason, and that was to save sinners. He came to save. He didn't come to make you rich. He might, he may not. But I tell you one thing, if he saves you, he's made you rich. May not be in the things of this world, but these things are all temporal. They're all passing. Oh, yes. I tell you this morning, if you do like Bartimaeus, when he heard that the Lord commanded him to come to him, what did he do? He cast off that old coat. He just threw it off. That old coat that you have, you've made it, fig leaves. You've done good, and you're trusting in your goodness and what you've done, and you believe that's going to make you righteous before God. Throw that away, my friends. Away with everything you've ever done and look to Christ. That's what Bartimaeus did. He came to Christ. And our Lord said unto him, thy faith hath made thee whole. It's not your crying. It's not your importunity. It's not your vehemency or anything like that. No, it's faith. And why is it that God has chosen faith to be the grace? And it is a fruit of the Spirit, just like love is, and joy and peace. Why is it that God chose faith? Because faith is a receiving grace. That's all. It's the empty hand. The empty hand that's put out, and the one who comes by puts some coins in the hand. The hand didn't do anything. No, it was the giver who put the coin. It's Christ who gives life. Faith just receives. Just empty hand. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know where Bartimaeus is today? Well, the scripture here says that he followed Jesus in the way. But I tell you where he is today. He's not sitting by a highway begging. He's in glory. He's in glory, my friends, looking into the face of the blessed Lord Jesus who came by that day and saved him, had mercy on him. Don't you look forward to that day? Someone sent me before the service here this morning a link to a hymn where we'll never grow old. We'll never grow old. Oh, don't you look forward to that place where we'll never grow old. To be with Jesus. That's heaven. To be with him. That's where Bartimaeus is. Brother Bill's going to come and he's going to sing this hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. And his grace is greater, greater than our sins. His blood cleanseth from all sin. It's number 209 in our hymn books, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. You join in. Praise God for his wonderful, marvelous grace.